Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And yes, I am here in studio having not been on Jimmy Kimmel Live as of late. But I can tell you what I am. I am here in studio with none other than our ESPN writer, June Lee, who just rocked our camera on the way. I'm actually concerned here. As June is sitting down here, June Lee, who does a great job writing, covering Major League Baseball for us, is going to be on the Baseball Tonight live streaming show before the Home Run Derby with myself and Clinton Yates tonight. June Lee, who I am vamping to give time to catch his breath, who just drove in straight from New York.
I literally ran from the parking lot.
I can tell that. I can say you're like a pretty solid lather you got going right now, man.
I already sweat like a faucet, so like this is just like exacerbating.
See, June, for our physical makeup, I mean, I'm a former 300-pounder, so I have that lurking within me here. You're a much smaller body type, but I'm glad we meet in the middle as prolific sweaters.
Yeah, I mean, especially the last like few weeks. Thank you for the
paper towels. Oh, there we go. We got paper towels coming in full service around here at ESPN.
There's been
Radio.
Like a heat wave in New York, and my air conditioning was broken a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and it was just like I didn't realize like I was having like a borderline heat stroke for like a good 3 days without me even realizing.
Yeah, no, it's way too much going on right now between here, the Pacific Northwest. I mean, that's a conversation for another day about what's going on outside right now and the violent weather patterns that we've had to put up with here. But regardless, we are glad you made it in. All right, man, how you doing? It's been a while since we've seen each other in person.
It's been like close to 2 years now because of the pandemic.
It's been pretty wild, man. So I could say outside of sweating, how are you doing right now? Because we're getting ready. I mean, we're heading into what is supposed to be the biggest celebration of Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game coming up here tomorrow. We've got the Home Run Derby coming up tonight that I mentioned you and I are going to be on the pregame show alongside Clinton Yates with. So coming off the first half of this Major League season after the pandemic year we talked about here, how are you feeling about where we're at?
Relatively good. It's been interesting the last couple of weeks after the sticky stuff enforcement thing, how like the balance has kind of shifted a little bit back. You've seen some pitchers kind of come back down to earth a little bit, except for Jacob DeGrom. And I mean, the story of the season so far is Ohtani, right? Like between Ohtani and also just the rest of the younger stars in the game, Tatis, Guerrero Jr., Acuna until his ACL tear, there's so much excitement right now among, I think, there's the youth of the sport in a way that I think has been unique for the last couple of decades of baseball.
Yeah. Oh, it's been incredible. And I've said here, because obviously, you know, we host a national show here, and baseball's always, in my mind, been like college football, where there's a very strange tension between the sport still being very regional in the way that it's always been, while also having a very big national hold in here. And the tension between that always manifests itself in what do we latch onto from the national side of things. And this has been one of those years when we've had these conversations around young stars in leagues, where the places like the NBA are with stars making the turn in the last couple of years. I've said baseball is now standing on equal footing with everyone else based on the names that you've just said, but it's no doubt been led by Shohei Ohtani, right?
Like
he's been the crown jewel of all this. He's going to be the starting pitcher in the All-Star game, the same game where he is also going to bat, the same week where he's also going to be participating in the Home Run Derby.
Which is incredible, right? It's one of those things where it's hard to kind of wrap your head around what he's doing right now, because there's not really a precedent, not even just in baseball, but I think across sports, right? Because like the closest comparison that I can think of is Bo Jackson. And Bo Jackson played running back and he was an all-star outfielder, but those were different seasons and he was doing one at a time. Like, I guess Deion Sanders did both in a day during the baseball playoffs, but Ohtani is, as a pitcher and a hitter, is basically playing two different sports all at the same time, managing the physical aspect of that. You see pitchers over the course of the year, you know, manage their pitch load and their work count or their pitch count. He's not only doing that, but also maintaining being a top tier slugger in the sport. And that's just one of those things where it's like, this should be a story that's transcending sports right now. Like in the same way that I think Linsanity was a couple years ago, where he was on the cover of Time Magazine. He was a topic of discussion on shows like Good Morning America, The Today Show. Like, Ohtani is doing something that's so unprecedented in this country, and I think across professional sports, where it's, you have to take a step back, because it's kind of hard, I think, to process the fact that like he's doing something that nobody's ever done. Even Babe Ruth, like the comparison to Babe Ruth is so obvious because Babe Ruth was a pitcher and a hitter, but what Ruth did in basically 1917 as a member of the Red Sox, he didn't do it at the level of Ohtani pitching and hitting this year. Like, Ohtani is transcending what Ruth did, and that's why I think the comparison between Ruth is almost outdated now, because Ohtani is Shohei Ohtani. Like, he's doing stuff that nobody has ever done before.
It's pretty incredible here. The slash line, 279, 364, 698, four triples, 12 stolen bases, 33 homers to lead the major leagues, in addition to that 3.49 ERA here. It's all-encompassing, and it's not just how skilled he is, but how physically impressive he is. It's the speed as much as anything else. It's the power that he hits with.
Right. Like, it's not just that he's pitching at an all-star level, hitting at an all-star level. He's like doing what Giancarlo Stanton does when he's healthy, like hitting the ball 460 feet. Like, I want to see a 550 foot homer out of Ohtani tonight on the mound or at the plate during the Derby, because he's playing Colorado and the balls aren't going to be a humidor. Like, he has the potential to hit hump some like very memorable moonshot tonight.
Well, yeah, go into that with people, because I'm not sure how many people are aware of that. I know I just really got tipped off today. Mike Golic Jr. here, Chenan Golic Jr. with June Lee, our ESPN writer in studio, giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We're heading out to Denver, so everyone knows Colorado altitude. They think of the balls flying, but that humidor that you mentioned here for the baseballs, just kind of give people an explanation if they're not familiar of what's normally done in Colorado that's not going to be the case for the home run derby.
So obviously everyone should know at this point that Colorado is much higher. It's the Mile High City, and balls fly there. And so in order to compensate for that, and this has started to be done around a lot of different ballparks, is that the team will put the balls in a humidor to kind of humidify the ball, to make them kind of adjust to what they would be like at a kind of a surface level, a sea level temperature. So the homers aren't as exaggerated. It kind of comes and goes how effective that is. It definitely kind of helps temper down the offense there to a certain degree. But for the Derby tonight, they're not doing that. And it's going to be a total show. It's basically juicing the balls to a certain degree. And, like, that's what you want out of the home run derby.
Absolutely. We're all here to watch massive moonshots from a guy like Shohei, who already, and June, I had imagined for him, one of the big advantages is just how many different planes he can hit the ball on here. Right. Because it's not like you just need to have one sweet spot nailed down if you're the guy pitching to
right.
him.
The thing I love about watching Ohtani hit is that he can hit a ball that's, like, at his head and just, like, demolish it out. And then there was a pitch earlier this year. He got a curveball on the outside corner of the plate at Fenway Park, and he just, like, kind of flicks at it, and he hit it like 380 feet over the Green Monster, which is a 32 foot wall at Fenway Park. Like, to be able as a left-handed hitter to have that kind of power to be off balance and hit an off-speed pitch and demolish it over the left field wall, there's only a handful of guys in the sport who are able to do that. And Ohtani is not only able to do that, but again, he's also an all-star pitcher and pitching at, you know, one of the top 10 pitchers in baseball this season, which is just, like, it's crazy just to talk about that.
It's been bonkers. Every highlight of him is so much fun. The sound he makes when he hits home runs sounds like in Super Smash Brothers when you get a perfect hit with
yes.
the baseball bat. Like, it's all there, and it's gotten to this point, June, and I know this is a conversation that was had earlier today on the network, talking about Shohei Ohtani as the face of Major League Baseball. Do you believe that's where we're at, and what does that mean now to have him being the central figure of the sport?
I feel like it is emblematic of a lot of the ways this country is headed, and that, you know, there's been a push for, I think, a very long push in this country beyond sports for just generally multiculturalism. I mean, I personally look at this through the lens of music. You see Bad Bunny having a number one album, BTS, you know, I'm a Korean American, like, I love BTS. Like, they're putting on number one hit singles. They just dropped another single that, like, broke the YouTube record for views in 24 hours. Like, the country is headed in a direction where kind of we're embracing a lot of different languages and a lot of different cultures, and Japanese players and Asian American players as a whole, I think, in Major League Baseball have always faced this kind of perpetual foreignism, where because there's a gap between the East culture and the West culture, because there's a language barrier. And I've experienced this personally as a first generation American. I moved to the United States when I was 2 months old. It's extremely hard to adapt to living in this country and learn how to navigate living in this country and learning English, because English is the language of commerce and capitalism, not just in the United States, but across the world. And I think we're starting to see that shift. And so, you know, Stephen A. Smith specifically earlier today said something along the lines of Ohtani can't be the face of baseball because he requires a translator. And I think that's exactly why he should be the face of baseball, because despite the East-West cultural gap, despite the transition that is required of a player like him, kind of the culture pressures for him to adapt to living life in the United States. Like, he doesn't have family here. There's so many things that he has to go through as an immigrant in this country. And despite all of that, he's still performing at a top tier level. Like, I've talked to guys who aren't Japanese, who are Latin players, who are players who come from other countries, and they talk about the cultural difficulty in the transition of moving to the United States and how much that affects their game, because these guys are people, right? They have lives outside of baseball, and having those, you know, kind of cultural factors kind of affect your day-to-day life. It affects your mentality on the field. It affects your focus. It affects so many different things. The small interactions you have with your teammates, whether you feel accepted among your teammates in that clubhouse. You know how important it is to feel accepted among your teammates in a locker room or clubhouse setting, and how that can affect your performance on the field. It's one of those things where, despite all of that, despite having this language gap, he's still performing not just at one position at all-star level, but two positions. And, like, you know, there's a very idealistic idea of the American dream and what it requires in this country, and there's truth and myth to a lot of that. But Ohtani should be held as this gold-bearing standard where he doesn't speak English, and he's adjusting to what it's like in America. And so many people, if you remember, when he came over, doubted that he would be able to do anything at an all-star level, let alone two things at once at an all-star level. The fact that, despite all of the immigrant issues that I think he goes through as an Asian American in this country, he's performing at this level, it's the reason why he should be the face of baseball.
I could not agree more here. What he has been able to accomplish with dealing with all of those changes, all of this uncertainty
and the pressure,
around him,
right?
And that pressure, you're right, of coming over with everything that was expected of him, because this was the way we talked about him, what we thought he might be capable of coming over from Japan.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Japanese baseball broadcast of Ohtani games, there's an Ohtani camera focused on him 24/7.
Wow.
There's, I mean, like, during the course of a game, is there any other athlete in sports who gets that level of scrutiny? Even LeBron James, right? Like,
yeah.
LeBron has a camera on him all the time, but even during a broadcast, it's not on him 24/7 in Japan. Everyone in the country looks at him as the same level of athlete as LeBron James, and they view him as one of the biggest national celebrities, and he's a guy who represents their entire country. Like, as big as LeBron James is, like, people around the world don't view him as the American. People in America view Shohei Ohtani as the Japanese player. And, like, that is a level of pressure I think, like, most Americans will really never be able to comprehend, because of just kind of the fact that he is representative of an entire country and he is the face of that country's sport.
Incredibly well said. You guys can, as always, catch June writing around here at ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter. One of the best Twitter names out there, at June Lee, managed to just score his actual name there, which feels like more and more of a rarity. You can also check out me, June, and Clinton Yates on the Baseball Tonight Live Home Run Derby pre-show. That's going to be across all digital platforms, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Coming up later. I can't wait. June, appreciate you sprinting in here, composing yourself and sitting down with us, man. Take a breath. We will talk to you very, very soon. This MLB weekend recap is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money, progress starts here. Back after this, Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Today and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Chinay Gwumake going to be joining us in about 5 minutes here. Big thank you to June Lee, our ESPN writer. Does a great job covering baseball around here. I thought spoke really eloquently on the topic of Shohei Ohtani as the face of baseball. If you missed any of that conversation, we'll have it all posted in the podcast. Chinay Engel Jr., wherever you get your podcasts here. We've got another dynamic at play on the show today. We are fighting on two fronts here. One is on Twitter we've got right now, because we brought up earlier in the show, one of our producers, Devin Kane, talked about not putting on lotion when he got out of the shower. Shannon Penn, our producer, put on a poll at Shannon_Penn on Twitter that said, quote, highly debated topic during the break after Devin admitted to not using lotion. I admitted that I discovered using lotion after the shower about 5 years ago in a relationship that I was in. And so, Twitter, we asked the question, do you put lotion on after bathing? We've got about an hour left in the voting. We've got about 3,000 votes right now. 56.9% in favor of yes. And boy, oh boy, as Bomani Jones, host of The Right Time with Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcast, put it, this has very quickly become a Two Americas poll. So we will continue to update you on those results. But we also asked for a question here because David Bakhtiari was one of the guys that helped will the Milwaukee Bucks to a victory. How, you ask? Chugging beers down on the sideline, courtside, with his father. His dad chugging beers in front of an audience. It made me recall a time where I was doing a live show in Columbus, Ohio. Me and my dad, it was when we were on the morning show, and I watched my dad, right after we finished the show, slam a 17-ounce beer in front of the entire crowd of people, Hofbrauhaus in Columbus, jam-packed full of people. Dad deletes this beer from existence, belches for everyone. It was one of the more proud moments of my life. For a dad who's accomplished as much as mine has, that was one of those special off-the-court moments where I'm like, damn, proud to share the same name. And so we asked, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. The most proud you've ever been of one of your parents for an off-the-court accomplishment, something outside of their field of work, something outside of what they've done, you know, at home on a serious front here. So let's go to Robert in Virginia. Robert, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What's the most proud you've ever been of one of your parents?
Well, thank you, Mike. I got a very, very unique story that's going to be hard to believe, but I promise it's true. My dad at one time was the head lacrosse coach at UVA, and he was a coach in the mid-50s, and they needed football and basketball officials. And so the athletic director approached him, and he decided, you know, he did football for 30, he did basketball for 10. So everybody, to make a long story short, fast forward to 1978, Virginia had a game against Georgetown scheduled for the NIT. And it snowed that day, so the other officials couldn't make it to the game. So they called my high school football coach, who was an ACC football basketball official, to do the game. So he proceeds to call my father, and my father says, I don't want to do the game. I'm a season ticket holder. Everybody knows me. So my father said he didn't want to do it. He did bring his stuff along, and he stopped off at a local bar. And my father was Irish, and 5 beers isn't a lot for him. He ends up having 5 beers. He gets to the game, and they talk to John Thompson. Hey, he used to coach in Virginia, but Mr. Thompson knew my father. So my father goes and changes and does the first half with this guy, Ralph Harrison, with 5 beers under his belt. The other officials show up at halftime, and my dad, you know, changes clothes and come back. But he gets interviewed after the game, and they ask him, were you nervous? He goes, hell no, I had 5 beers before the game. And that came out in our local paper, and my father always cherished that. And I was very proud of the fact that he could referee a game and do a good job with 5 beers under his belt.
That is damn impressive. Robert, we appreciate the call. I'm not going to lie, that's going to be a hard one to top right now. Managing to referee an entire half of a sporting event here, 5 beers deep in that spot. Major league respect on that one. We'll get to more of these. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN here when we get back. Because coming up next, Chenea Igwumike going to rejoin the show here as we try and figure out if what we got from the Milwaukee Bucks, if what we saw in Game 3 was them figuring it out, was the light going on that's going to change this series, or if one player's return to form could get us back on track for Suns in 7. Next, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Bucks get a big win in Game 3, but can they sustain? And has P.J. Tucker recovered yet from the dunk heard around the world? Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We'll get to all of that here. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenea Igwumike back in the building right now. Rap air horns, everything going up here. We are back in the building together. What's going on?
Hi, I've missed you so much. I was just here Friday, by the way. But
Chenea, I know you were here Friday because I heard in the open of this show, you and Jason Fitz both talking your talk about how you guys have been on Jimmy Kimmel and I haven't. So congratulations. That was actually pretty cool to watch you on there. It seemed like you and Wanda had fun.
We had so much fun, and she was at our game 2 days ago, or was it yesterday? Yesterday. I can't even remember, bro. within the last 48 hours, Wanda Sykes was at our game, so she delivered on her promise to come. That came on Jimmy Kimmel. But, Junior, I have missed you. I don't want to put you on blast, okay? I don't want to put you on blast because I did you a solid. I don't know if you watched the full 9 minutes of myself on Jimmy Kimmel. Did you?
No, I watched a lot of the clips, but I still haven't gotten to watch the whole segment yet. What did I miss?
I shouted you out!
Let's go!
Mind you, Michael Jr., I always, like, you guys, it's a whole bit. Like, I go on shows and I never shout people out. And I never shout our show out. And so this time I was talking about, I don't even remember what I was talking about, but I slid that thing in. I was like, Yeah, also a title is, you know, radio host on Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Shout out to Michael Jr., my work boo.
Bam! We're out here. Late night official here.
And so I know you always watch, because this guy is really cute, you guys. Michael Jr., anytime I do something, he tends to always watch, be present, support. He's a real one, okay? And so I assume that, like, okay, you'd probably see it, but I know you've been busy yourself, so I'm going to give you this pass. But I thought you'd notice that, yeah, I was like, I you know, so they know you out there. They know, and they like you, by the way. I don't know. It's so annoying. Everywhere I go, like, whether it's Kelly Clarkson, so someone's like, I'm a Notre Damer. I'm a Domer. I love Michael Jr. So you get love in these streets, too. But
that,
we know this.
I can say, Janae, honestly, it comes back to the Notre Dame factor. Like, people love us, people hate us, but we got people everywhere out here in the streets when it comes to this school. They're worked in everywhere, so I'm always glad they're finding their way to the top. I appreciate you. Now I'm absolutely going back to watch this entire segment. I can tell you that much here, so... Looking very
okay,
much
it
forward
wasn't
to
like
that.
It was just a quick thing, so don't get too excited.
Oh, no, no. Like, I'm going to get excited, and I'm going to videotape it. And I'm probably going to post it to
don't
my story,
that.
Tag
don't
Wanda Sykes, tag Jimmy Kimmel. It's going to
oh
be a thing.
Oh, my gosh. No, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, if you and I both were on there, we'd have a ball.
See, that's what we got to angle for now here, and that's why I'm going to spam their socials and be like, hey, you know what, guys? Happy to come through next time. Make good. I know Janae told you a lot of nice things about me here. Figure we could tag team this thing. So
yes.
We're going to manifest this right now. This is what happens when we are back together and ready to rock here right now on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Super excited. And Janae, I mean, excited to have you back here also, because we haven't gotten to talk a ton about what's going on in the NBA Finals right now. So game three of this series goes off on Sunday night. The Bucks get a big time win, 120-100 in that game. And Janae, watching this one, so much made about Giannis, his output this entire series, but when you watched this game, was there anything you saw that looked like the light finally went on for the Bucks that they can take and make into a win in this series?
Yeah. I mean, this is a team that loves their home court. And a lot of people have said, oh, Suns in four, you know, that's been a whole thing this entire playoffs. But the reality is, if you know the Bucks, they play well at home. And so after those first two games, I knew that it was probably going to be a more competitive outing by the Bucks based on their ease and their confidence level. On top of it, Giannis was not at 100%. Like, he was not even expected, per se, if these were regular season games, to probably play through this. But he's doing it because it's the NBA Finals, and rightfully so. If you're able to, in a safe manner, do that thing. And now he had two games under his belt where he's now getting his legs under him. And what did he do? Back-to-back 42, now 41-point effort, and this time in a win. And so I'm not surprised that we are looking at a series that is getting closer and the margin of wins is diminishing, because this is a Bucks team that has tremendous talent all over the floor, a Bucks team that has Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two-time reigning MVP after, you know, this past season, or before this past season. And you've got a team that just shoots the ball and feels more confident when David Bakhtiari's is downing beers. So
that is a fair point. I mean, listen, if we want to talk about true X factors here, Janae, feels like David Bakhtiari and his dad. Did you see that? His dad down there slugging beers with him as well.
You weren't here, but did I tell, like, I knew that was happening. I was at Proactive Fitness out here in Los Angeles the day before he traveled to Milwaukee, because he's like, my people need me.
David Bakhtiari out there getting a workout in before he went to chug beers.
Yeah, and I don't want to spill the tea or anything, but, like, he was funny because he's like, you know, it's like you got to, like, get souped up to do this. And so he knows, like, his team needs him, his city needs him, and it's great to see his dad out there as well. But, you know, think about it. You have a guy that's training for a year like no other, where we're still trying to figure out the quarterback position, someone that is his close friend, but, like, he's holding it down for the Bucks, you know, knowing that that type of energy is what the city is all about. And that's why the Bucks play better, because they have that type of family vibe, the vibe that Giannis Antetokounmpo wanted by re-signing. He's about loyalty, he's about family, and that's the culture that they have in Milwaukee, and it means something to them. So when people said Suns and four, I was like, hold my beer.
I'm looking for it. I don't think I can find it on
your
here on the
board. Hold my beer.
There we go.
Yeah, hold my beer. Yep, that's the perfect application of that, okay?
It is the perfect application for this spot. And, Janae, you're right. That atmosphere, we've talked so much about home court advantage, it being back and better than ever after what we saw in the bubble last year. But especially, it always comes up with the role players. You saw Bobby Portis have another monster game for them.
Yep.
Pat Connaughton showed up in big spots. So I know you've always come at the game a lot of times from a star's perspective, but when you look at role players, why is it that they seem to have so much more success in spots like this at home?
I think it's bigger than even at home. I think right now we're at a point where stars in this series, whether it is Chris Paul and Devin Booker or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Chris Middleton, they're not the stars that are black holes, you know, where the ball goes there and it never comes out, because that's what their teams need them to do. These stars share the ball and they have to win through team ball. That's the series that we have this year, which is really special about this matchup between the Bucks and Suns. So that enables Bobby Portis and young guys to be able to, DeAndre Ayton, to step up in moments because their stars need that to be successful. And I like that. It's a healthy change. We're seeing games where, okay, the star scorer that decides it, the X factor, is someone that we really can't predict at times, right? And I also would like to note that people are saying that Bobby Portis has upped his fashion game, and that was the real win, because it was like, Bobby Portis going into the game looked pretty good. Devin Booker, I don't know if you saw what Devin wore. He wore like those dress shoes with like the crew socks that were black.
Oh, yeah.
Which like were, I don't even know. Like when people wear black crew socks, that makes me feel weird. And then the baggy shorts. And it was a fashion look.
Well, Janae, you know the biggest fashion statement that got made, and quietly the reason that we probably all should have known that Giannis was not going to be denied. Did you see what he wore into the game?
Wasn't it just regular schmegula?
It was regular, but did you see what was on his feet? Black Air Force Ones.
Oh, you're right. It was the Black Force.
We should have known.
Never pick a fight.
Never pick a fight with someone rocking Black Air Force Ones.
Yep.
And so the minute we saw that from Giannis, we should have known that the Bucks were going to go out here and get this win.
In my Air Force Ones, getting buckets. In my Air Force Ones. Damn. No, but what? Sorry, keep going.
We're brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, proud sponsor of the 2021 ESPYs Humanitarian. Sports Humanitarian Award. Coming up next, though, as we talk about stars making both fashion statements and on-court statements in Game 3 of the NBA Finals, there was one star who was conspicuously absent, especially in the second half. Why did that happen, and how do we think it pays off? We'll get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike, still want to take your calls on the most proud you've ever been of one of your parents' off-the-court accomplishments in honor of David Bakhtiari's dad chugging beers courtside for the Milwaukee Bucks. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike here. Be interested to see. We can get to in the next hour, see if Chinay's got one of these for either of her parents. I talked about my dad's beer chugging that's gone on in that regard. But before we get to any of that stuff, 888-SAY-ESPN, we want to head out to the Goodyear Hotline now and talk to Martenzi Johnson. He's covering the NBA Finals for the Undefeated. And Martenzi, we appreciate the time today, man. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Golic and Chinay.
We appreciate you coming by and giving us some time, especially in the midst of what's now a really exciting series. The Bucks hold serve at their home court. They get a 120-100 win. For you watching this series now through three games, what stuck out as the biggest change for Milwaukee in Game 3 that allowed them to get that dub?
I think it's simple enough for the Bucks, and it's always kind of been their issue, is shooting and turnovers. And unlike games one and two, they didn't turn the ball over that much, or they didn't turn it over as much as the Suns did, and they made their shots, whether it's from the mid-range or from three. So, when it was 0-2, I didn't really think the Bucks were in trouble, especially since they were coming back home. But now you see what the Bucks are capable of when they're playing at Pfizer. But I guess going forward, they need to be able to replicate that performance in Phoenix as well.
Martenzi, speaking of replicating performances, that's what Giannis Antetokounmpo has been doing, even though he may not be 150%, even though like his 100% is like 150.
Right.
When you look at his performance, what did he do in this one that was different versus, because we see the same numbers in the stat sheet, right? But there are small things. What do you think in your estimation made his performance bring out a win this time around?
Well, one, he stuck to what he knows, right? So he didn't try to go outside of the paint where he struggles a lot, even though I think he's much better at the mid-range game than he's probably given credit for. But no, he just stuck to dunks and layups, and the Suns couldn't stop it, so he kept doing it. And even when they could stop him, which was basically fouling him, he was pretty efficient, well, way more efficient from the free throw line than he's been in the recent past and then I guess the last couple of years. But I didn't really see, like, the Bucks talk a lot about aggressiveness, but I didn't really see him be any more, less, or more aggressive than he's been in the past. It's just he was converting from the free throw line, and he wasn't trying those three-pointers that, you know, every time he does it, Bucks fans scream at their television. So he got that under control, and I think it worked out for him in the end.
So do you think it was then more less tweaks and more just the way the officials decide to call it? Because we heard Monty Williams on the other side for the Suns talking about the discrepancy in free throws and calls during this game.
I love Monty Williams. Let me preface it, my statement by saying that. But he has some nerve. We've seen some of the stuff, particularly Devin Booker has gotten away with in the first couple games. And for him to say, you know, to credit the Bucks winner, or somewhat credit the Bucks winner to the refereeing, you know, in a normal game, Giannis is missing half of those. So you really can't really chalk it up to the referees. But, you know, it goes back and forth. I think there were some calls for the Bucks that didn't go their way in Phoenix, and now you saw it, well, I guess Monty Williams saw it in Game 3, but I don't think really the fouls had really anything to do with it. It's just they happened to call him, and Giannis, like I said, they're not going to foul him for three-pointers, right? So you send him to the line and hope that he's going to convert 50%, but this game, I think he was closer to 80.
Okay, I like this. Let's dive deeper into this. Martenzi Johnson, who's covering the NBA Finals for The Undefeated, joins us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Let's dive deeper because you said you love Monty Williams, and he has – it's not often that a lot of coaches can go through the finals and get fans, but, like, getting access, those mics, you know, hearing him and how he coaches has created a lot of fans of the coach. When you hear from Devin Booker, who did not play in the fourth quarter as we would have expected, saying like, this is between me and Monty, I feel like that's a good sign. What did you take away from Devin Booker's performance in Game 3?
Well, like Golic was saying earlier in the game, I think they just saw that he was struggling, and I think he had some questionable fouls there, so it was probably just get him out of the game, wave the white flag, and try to, you know, regroup for Game 4. But I want to say, you know, this will give him the fire to play better in Game 4, but I think he just had the same issues that particularly Chris Middleton had in those first two games, where he was getting some good looks. Like, we saw the play where Drew kind of blanketed him, but outside of that, he got some good looks. He just happened to miss them. A lot of them just twirled around the rim and then came back out. So I don't think he necessarily struggled, as in the Bucks found some way to finally defend him. I just think he just had a bad night. So for him, I think for just any NBA player, you kind of just forget about that game and go forward. So the Bucks, you know, winning by 20, you got to imagine 15 points were left on the floor for Devin Booker in Game 3. So they really only won by like 5 or 6, and so you can't really hope that Devin Booker's going to miss those shots again.
Yeah, no, hoping on Devin Booker to miss seems like a losing prop for anyone involved in that one. Martenzi, enjoy the rest of the series. We appreciate you giving us some time, and hopefully we'll talk to you again
soon,
all right?
For sure, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say Bucks in 6 as I sign up.
There we go. All right. The dismount there from Martenzi Johnson, again, covering the NBA Finals for the Undefeated. And, Chanae, I went Suns in 7 here. I could feel and understand why a lot of people who might still be on that Bucks train are emboldened by what they saw last night, because this finally felt like, in a lot of ways, the team we've been expecting for a while.
I have been in the WNBA and all that stuff, so I haven't given you my take, but I am more Bucks in 7.
Ooh, okay.
Bucks in 7, but you can sort of guess why. There's some vibes out there in the universe. What happened with the exhibition game a couple days ago or 2 days ago, you know? So I'm rooting for Giannis Antetokounmpo, even though, you know, just on some human level. I will break down the game fairly, but I do think that this confidence that they have in their team ball can make this really competitive. Suns have the momentum, but I think Giannis has a lot of the talent as well.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. I was amazed it took us a half hour for Chanae to mention that the Nigerian men's team managed to beat Team USA in an exhibition. I'm sure we will get to plenty more on that and on Game 3 coming up in the next hour here on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN Plus.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.